Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Welcome back, everybody. Before we went to break, Bob Stauffer, by the way, joining you from Los Angeles, Crypto.com Arena, where, of course, they have the legendary chant here in L.A. Duh, 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 duh. Oilers suck. It's that kind of original thought process that, you know, a lot of the world sees the Americans with on a regular basis. Anyhow, I digress. Before we went to break, Oilers Game Day Trivia brought to you by Pro-Am Sports, your fan cave specialist. All correct answers this month. Enter to win an autographed Stuart Skinner jersey from Pro-Am Sports. Visit them online or on Pro-Am Sports on St. Albert Trail. The question was, which Edmonton Oilers former player has the highest shooting percentage in NHL playoff history, minimum 80 shots on goal? The correct answer, Craig Simpson at 33.6%. It's not close. Mark Scheifele, by the way, second at 23.6. Peter Stastny at 21.7. Daryl Sutter, the Viking Alberta, did an event in Irma last year with Daryl Sutter. I'm going to have to go back out there again, Jerry Johansson, myself, and Daryl, this summer. Daryl Sutter, fourth at 21.6%. So Craig Simpson, 33.6%. So one-third of the shots he took in the playoffs ended up in the net. By the way, just an aside, how many of you saw the late hit by Quentin Byfield that he got away with on Connor McDavid? We all saw it. Well, I can tell you, in the Washington game against the New York Rangers, Matt Rempe has just laid out, and I do mean laid out, Trevor Van Riemsdyk with a hit that Van Riemsdyk had actually made the pass less than a second earlier, and Rempe tracked him and destroyed him with a hit, and they've called a penalty. But it's Matt Rempe throwing the hit, so that's okay. I was surprised there wasn't a Byfield call against McDavid. Of course, McDavid was called on a hook in which Pierre-Luc Dubois was reaching inside. Many of you brought up the fact that Trevor Moore low-bridged and clipped the Edmonton Oilers' Vincent Desharnais, and there wasn't a penalty. Oilers have got to be more assertive, and if they're not going to call it, they're not going to call it. Edmonton needs to ramp up the physicality. I will say this, I've always felt if it really got nasty against LA, you might find something out about it. Okay? I mean, Andreas Englund's a tough guy. Beyond that, how many guys they really got that want to go down that path? Special shout out to Mitch from Westlock for giving me the heads up on the hit by Rempe on TVR. 537 in Edmonton. Again, you can text us at 780-496-0063. We had daily face-off strength share valley for the horses and horse racing Alberta. Live racing May 4th at Century Mile Racetrack in Steno. For more information, go to horses.com. He joined us in the last half-hour block. Of course, you can reach us on the River Cree Resort and Casino hotline, 780-496-0063. The River Cree Resort and Casino. Excitement, bet on it. You can also text us at 780-496-0063 on the Ashley Fine Floors text line. Get the new floors you always wanted with Ashley Fine Floors, 143rd Street, 111th Avenue, open Monday through Saturday. My question for you right now, because we're going to clear the rack for the texters. You know you're not going to, I don't think it helps you to complain about officiating. The league does what the league does. I don't buy for a second that the league doesn't want a Canadian team to win. I do think the league doesn't protect their star players enough. I've always felt that, and it just so happens that Edmonton's got two of the biggest star players. And it just, I've always felt that. And I think it's tied to some of the people that are in key positions in the league, who themselves were anything but stars, who are people nobody paid to go watch the play. I'll maintain that and stand by that comment. But I think it becomes incumbent upon the Edmonton Oilers to take matters in their own hands. So how many of you would like to see the Oilers increase their level of physicality and start smacking the Kings back and hitting on Jake Kopitar and hitting Drew Doughty every chance they get? And maybe you need to change the dynamics of the forward lines to do so. Text me on the Ashley Fine Floors text line, 780-496-0063. Do the Oilers need to ramp up the degree of physicality? The Oilers Now Injury Reports brought to you by James H. Brown Injury Lawyers. Trent Brown was a hard-hitting member of the Edmonton Eskimos as a safety. He played cornerback at the University of Alberta and wide receiver and was a kick returner. In fact, in three successive weekends, he was the defensive player of the week, the special player teams player of the week, and then the offensive player of the week. He was a pretty good player at the U of A. James H. Brown, it's this simple. They get you the best results. All right. Want to mention to you that guests on the show receive gift cards to Japanese Village. You can save $10 off and all certified Angus beef New York steak dinners. For full details, visit jvedmonton.ca. As promised, let's go to our headliner for today's show, brought to you by Wilhauk Beef Jerky. It's the best you've ever tasted. Search for Wilhauk, W-I-L-H-A-U-K today. Let's get to our conversation with Edmonton Oilers assistant coach Paul Coffey.
Of course, had a Hall of Fame NHL career. Paul, this is we caught up with you when you first took the job, and I one of the things I want to ask you is just what's this experience been like for you personally? I mean, look, you've been around the game your whole life, but a little bit different role in a day-to-day, pretty relentless work rate when you're as part of the coaching staff. How's it gone so far for you?
It's been a lot of fun, and last time I looked, work is no fun, so I don't consider it work. I consider it a privilege to me to get asked to come in and work with these young guys, and the defense who I'm responsible for have been great. They've taught me as much as I've taught them, and it's been a good relationship to date.
It was interesting, you know, Peter Chiarelli, when he drafted Evan Bouchard, you know, it was like, this is going to be our right shot guy. This is the guy we've been looking for. And I know that I had some animated conversations with a couple of prior coaches about accelerating Bouchard, and, maybe they were right, maybe they were wrong to sort of bring him along slowly, but there's been a confluence of events here, really, that started with a trade that saw Tyson Barrie, who was a great teammate for everybody, get moved to Nashville. Matthias Ekholm ends up becoming Evan's defense partner. But I think when people think of Paul Coffey's impact, they look at Evan Bouchard and his progression and growth during this year. Just, you were an offensive defenseman, different than Evan, but just a thought on what you're seeing out of Bouch right now.
Well, for starters, you have to trade something to get something. Tyson was a very good player for the Oilers and a good point man for us with Connor and Leon, etc. But to get a guy like Ekholm for us was a no-brainer. That's when I was sitting in a different capacity, and that was just a no-brainer and a move we had to make. Evan, I had multiple conversations with him. He is somewhat like myself, a risk-reward player. And I said to him from day one, if the reward far outweighs the risk, we're getting along great. I said, I'm still going to play because I think you're in a development stage of your career. But he's come along nicely, and nothing to do with me. I think that the six or seven of them now with Stetch as a group have fed off each other and learned from each other. And, you know, for me, with Evan, because we're talking about Bouchard, is, you know, we haven't seen the best yet. It doesn't mean he's going to get 100 points, but I think he can just get more consistent on the ice, get his intensity up a little bit. He knows that. It's nothing new. I'm not taking a run at him. He knows he has to work on that, and there should be a lot of great years ahead.
Without having Hockey DB off the top of my head, I don't know if I could pull this off, but Larry Murphy played with the Red Wings in and around the time that you were there. I'm not sure if you guys ended up playing on the team at the same time, but is that a comparable for Evan, Larry Murphy? I mean, Larry Murphy played 1,600 games in the NHL and had 1,200 points in his career.
That's a lofty comparison. I mean, Murph was a Hall of Famer, fourth-time Stanley Cup champ, and a great player, but they do have some similarities. I mean, Bouch definitely does have a better shot, as he does against most defensemen now or before. But savvy with the puck. I mean, Murph was as good as he got at holding the blue lines on both ends, just ice in his veins, so to speak. And Bouch, there is some similarities, but there's a lot of differentiators as well. But, you know, that's a lofty guy. I mean, Murph was a great, great player. I mean, can Evan get there? We'll see.
Paul Coffey joins us right now, Edmonton Oilers assistant coach. Paul, Matthias Ekholm, the numbers speak for himself. He's played 100 regular season games for Edmonton. He's plus 72. Some people think that's an antiquated stat. I still think it's relevant. Has it been just the right guy at the right time, at the right spot for the Edmonton Oilers organization to come in?
Yeah, I mean, Ken did a great job on that. There was pressure last year to make a deal prior to the deadline to get somebody in there to acclimate himself before the playoffs started. And Matthias came available. I mean, we had to give up Barrie / a first rounder for him, but a trade we would make again and again and again. And Ecky's a pleasure to work with. He's a Swede, which was great. He's got a tremendous amount of talent. as competitive as anybody ever saw play or coach. And actually, one of the guys I talked to prior to the Oilers making that trade was Rick Tocchet, because Rick coached against him with Pittsburgh in the final there with Nashville. And Rick said, every time I watch him, I wanted to kill him. He was just that competitive on the ice and cross-checking guys and competing. And he's done that for us. I think he's relieved a little bit of pressure off Nursey, who was our number one guy. I mean, to me, they're all number ones. To me, that's how I like to play them. But Ecky's helped a lot. He's helped in the dressing room. He's helped with Bush's development, and he's got some runway left yet.
Paul, one of the areas that we've seen some improvement with Vincent Dernay is just in terms of the puck skills. He's a big, rangy, courageous player. He fronts a lot of pucks on the PK. He's not afraid at all to engage physically, but he's moving the puck a little bit better. How much of that is just him putting in the work?
Him putting in the work. I mean, he is. He knows what he's good at. There has been a couple of games here where he got away from what he's great at, which is fronting pucks, as you just mentioned, and being physical and being great defensively. But Vinny's one of those guys just needs a little bit of confidence. I mean, you don't make it to this level unless you're a good player. And some way along the way, you had the confidence to move pucks, and he has it now. And it's paid off for us.
You obviously played for Edmonton. You played in Los Angeles as well. This became a rivalry in the late 80s and early 90s. It's a pretty good rivalry right now, isn't it, between these two teams?
No, it's great. And, I was just talking to Ekholm at the end of practice, and I think if we had a one game two, snuck that out, the feeling today wouldn't be what it is. And it's game on right now. We know it as coaches. We've got to approach every game like it's an elimination game as far as I'm concerned. Playoffs are all about momentum, and it's business tonight. You watch practice. I thought the guys had a good look in their eye. The pucks were snapping. The pucks were on the stick, and I'm very, very confident we'll bring it our A game tonight.
Final question for you, Paul. I don't know how much you knew about Chris Knobloch. You were part of the decision-making process to bring Chris in here. You've now had, the last time we talked to you was within the first 3 weeks of you going behind that bench. But where you're at in terms of what you've observed with Chris, I mean, he ended up, the Oilers were the only team in the NHL over a 700 winning percentage since November 13th, so they had a good record. Some people would say, well, they played to what they should have been all along. But what's it been like, because Chris isn't a guy that's necessarily going to come out and wow you and be a salesman. Like, he's got a little bit different approach. So, what have you come to appreciate about him?
He is consistent. Very consistent in the way he coaches, the way he prepares before games. I said to you earlier in the conversation here that I've hopefully taught the D as much as I've learned from them, and Chris is one of those guys. Every time we sit in meetings, I learn something. He doesn't overcoach. He's structurally as good as anybody I've ever seen. I play for a lot of really good coaches, and his preparation is good, and his bench control, which is me, is the most important thing. You can sit in front of that computer all you want, but if you can't run a good bench, you're going to be in trouble in this league because it moves too fast, and he's very good.
He's also under control on the bench, isn't he? Like, you've probably played for coaches that were high-strung, that were yipping and yapping at officials, and I know for a fact, because we get the ambient mics, so I hear very little negative chatter from or vitriol directed at anybody. Players can talk to the players. That comes with the territory. But I do think that the team sometimes takes on the personality of the coach. Do you agree with that?
Yeah. No, as I said earlier, Chris is very consistent in his delivery on all fronts, and I think it's calmed the team down. I mean, you still got to have some fire out there. You can't win in this league without having a little bit of vigor, and he can show that as well whenever it's needed.
That's Edmonton Oilers assistant coach Paul Coffey. He mentioned Rick Tocchet. Well, the Canucks and Nashville have started, and it is nasty. A real cheap late hit. And it was Joseph Dakota Joshua hitting the Nashville Predators player from the numbers, from behind, into the boards. Stastny for the Preds is their number 6 D-man. That's got to be at least, it might be a major penalty. And then the teams ended up with a little bit of nastiness out on the ice. No score in the first period. Nashville, by the way, had an extended sequence of over a minute and a half in the Vancouver zone. So surely the Predators are going to get a power play. And power plays matter, and they matter in this series. Bottom line, Edmonton's got to do a better job 5-on-5. They've had some bad luck, but they got to be do a better job 5-on-5, and I think the Oilers need to exert their will a little bit more on the LA Kings, too. Kings, you know, there were two rubouts on Connor McDavid. If you're a Kings fan or a supporter, you'd say that's just good hard hockey. If you're an Oilers partisan, you're saying, how is there not a penalty call there, especially when the guy doesn't have the puck? And if you're an observer of the NHL, you just know that's what stars have to go through in this league, as opposed to, like, the NBA, where if you get within 4 feet of a star player, they call a foul, or in the NFL, where you're not allowed to hit the quarterback. We will head off to a quick timeout, and then I'm going to blast through some texts on the Ashley Fine Floors text line. It is 5:50 at Edmonton. You're listening to Oilers Now. Very quickly in the Oilers Now Prospect Report at 4:52, brought to you by Reface Magic. Save money on your kitchen renovation. Don't replace. Reface, back in the 630 Chad Studios in Edmonton. Here's Brendan Escott.
Well, game one between James Steffen's Portland Winterhawks and the Prince George Cougars goes tonight in BC. The undrafted free agent signee has 6 goals and 13 points in 8 postseason games. And then, of course, you've got the Bakersfield Condors, Bob, playing tomorrow night for their playoff lives against the Rain in Ontario, California.
3 playoff series, Rain won game one, 5-1-1, or 5-1. Condors missed 3 breakaways in a row in a 2-0 game. They do not have several forwards available at this time, including Drake Cajula, who is their first-line left wing, and James Hanlon, their second-line center. We hear a lot of comments about the cost of living, including the cost of vehicles. At the same time, consumers are keeping their vehicles longer, and repair costs start to come into play. The team at Brent Ridge Ford working to help. They've assembled over 30 Escapes and Bronco Sports that can provide reliable and affordable transportation. For fair and open vehicle ownership, call Rich, Johnny, or Uncle Milt at 780-352-6048. Brent Ridge Ford on the Auto Mile in Wetaskiwin. Bob Stauffer with you in Los Angeles. Brendan is back at the 630 Chad Studios. We're going to go to the Ashley Fine Floors text line at 780-496-0063. And I point blank, I said, do the Edmonton Oilers need to ramp it up physically? You know, they have meetings as, you know, serious coordinators and that sort of thing that you're supposed to monitor things from a game-by-game basis. I don't think there's any question the Kings were physical with Connor McDavid in game number 2. This text comes in from Brian, and my feeling is you cannot wait for the league or the officials to take care of business. And it's worked to Edmonton's. I used to say veteran teams got veteran calls. I will also say at times it feels like the teams that have the greater skill, it works against their advantage come playoff time with the mindset of how the league operates. Not everybody has to agree with me, but I'll look back to 2006 when Edmonton played Detroit. Detroit had more skill, and the Oilers were able to go down a path and get a little bit ugly. Let's get Brian here in Texas. He says, Bob, the playoffs are a different game. Face punches, whatever. Why aren't the refs calling this crap? Again, it is, that's a question that needs to be asked, I guess. I might assert to you that we've seen a fair amount of flopping so far, specifically from the likes of a player that I really like, Victor Arvidsson. He's gotten away with a couple in this series where he's just thrown himself into the boards. You might think in those situations that there would be an embellishment call. Bob, it's not comparable to a quarterback, and it's their job. A dirty hit in hockey is their dirty hit, regardless of their position. That one comes to us from Brad. Farmer Ed says, Bob, yeah, the Oilers need to be tougher all over the ice, but whining about officiating is still a loser's way out, just like the conspiracy theory that Bettman won't allow a Canadian team to win the cup. It's all bull crap. Sad to say it, but the best teams have come out of the U.S. from Farmer Ed. Here's what I would say, okay? I do agree with you. It's a loser's lament to complain about officiating. In a 7-game, what's the old line with Earl Weaver? He was arguing with the ump for the next call, okay? I think it's harder for Canadians teams to win. I do. I think it's harder for Canadian teams to win. I also think there's significant advantages to Sunbelt markets and non-state tax markets like the state of Florida, Tampa Bay, and Vegas, Nevada. Okay? They've had some advantages along the way. So, yes, you could assert and argue Canadian teams haven't done a good... You can make the argument, I work for the Oilers Entertainment Group. We're pretty upfront by that. I tell you, the Oilers haven't built a good enough team around Connor McDavid yet. They were close last year. They might have, for 2 years in a row, they've lost to the Stanley Cup champ. But I think it's harder to win on in Canada. I really do. Again, you can text us 780-496-0063. This text comes into us from Windermere Willie. He says, Senor Roberto, the NHL is the only league that doesn't protect its stars. Brendan Escott's back in the 630 Chad Studios. Brendan, the floor is yours for 30 seconds. What do you think?
Well, listen, I'm looking at a video here of Matt Rempe absolutely destroying Trevor Van Riemsdyk in this Rangers Capitals game to the effect of a 2-minute penalty. So you get a lot of leeway to work here to impose your will if that's what you think that you need to do. So why not take advantage of that throughout the lineup tonight? Push back, show some dominance. It's, a guy like Dylan Holloway is in a perfect position to do such a thing because I just think he navigates the ice so perfectly with that big frame. And, you know, if Kane's not operating at 100%, then other guys like Holloway and Perry can step up.
I would not bet against Evander Kane tonight. I think you might be seeing a little bit more of him. That's my feeling. We'll head off to a global news weather traffic update with Thomas Dias. And when we come back in Oilers Now, we'll hear from Louis DeBrus for GCL Diesel.